When I was in high school, there was a song. I think it was a theme song of somebody's prom before mine, but listen to the rhythm of the falling rain. Listen to the pitter pat. Hallelujah. Anybody remember that too? Yeah. Telling me just what a fool I've been. Little did I know that when you left that day, along with me you took my heart. How many times do we find ourselves returning to the Lord because when we leave Him, it takes our heart? You know, I mean, if even for a moment, it's like, oh Lord, I'm sorry. And you know, sometimes maybe we go further than only a moment, and we find ourselves thinking, what a fool I've been. But there's too many things. That's, you know, we always say the thing I love, and that's the thing I love at the time that I'm thinking about it, is that when we do return, God simply returns. And He's never left. And He never says, what a fool you've been. Isn't that good? How does He do that? Because we're usually tempted to remind somebody what a fool they've been. You know? I'm sorry, honey. And our thought is, but you got it coming. You know? I mean, in the simplest situations. What is it? In Proverbs it talks about don't get angry easily. Because, you know, if we're angry, it causes problems, and we recognize that, and we get angry, and we have an opportunity right when we get angry to turn it around. We have that split second to say no to anger. Because if we don't say no right away, we start hearing from the enemy. And we start having every absolutely perfect reason to go right on ahead. You know? To just go ahead. I remember Joyce Meyer, one of her teachings years and years and years ago, where she was talking about how God sort of began to square her away on not being so opinionated. And, you know, because she recognized they go down a street and she'd be complaining about somebody's house. Why would they paint it that color? And Dave would say, that's really none of your business. And she would fight that, but over time she realized, really, it's not my business. If I don't like the color, I can buy the house and paint it maybe. But it really isn't worth our time. It isn't. You know, if somebody cuts me off on my motorcycle, you know, there's no sense in me letting them have any more time. Vicki said last week after church, so what happened? Well, we didn't hit the tractor. We were able to get slowed down enough so that the tractor could go in front of us. You know, and we could have spent from just east of Fort Thompson to Mitchell complaining about that guy. But I just thought, you know, I've probably cut somebody off before too. I don't think like that. But no doubt if somebody's coming down the highway and they're a little tenuous about coming down the highway, and you could be a long ways over in front of them when you cut across. And you could just ruin their day. They didn't have to slow down. They didn't have to brake. Have you ever had somebody cut across in front of you? And you didn't even really have to hit your brakes, but you thought, what were they thinking? You know? I'm amazed, truck drivers. You guys know how much time it takes you to turn a corner. You really must. Because sometimes they'll just turn. Now that guy in the tractor had no idea. But you know, you see him and I look at him, I think, not really. And I just don't even take off my cruise. I keep my foot ready. And they get by. You know? Everybody's different. Everybody drives different. Everybody thinks different. And they belong to God. Now, we can spend forever thinking, well, God certainly wouldn't tell them that. That's probably true. You know? But it's not my business. Our business really, as the Bible would say, is just pray for them. Lord, help them. You know? Not curse at them, but pray for them. You know? And sometimes our judgments really are like they're releasing a curse. We don't want to be releasing curses, do we? We want to take control of ourselves. We want to do that. You know, Vicki and I have been having an enjoyable time, maybe more so me than her, but fighting the good fight of faith for her body. I try to say, you're bending over. She says, I'm not bending over. I'm arching my back. I say, okay. And sometimes I know enough to not say anything, but other times I don't, you know. But I care. And you know, that's how God is with us. He cares. He doesn't have to say much. We need to make sure that we remain open to His Word. You know? In Hebrews, where it talks about Moses, that verse ends saying, nobody can see God, but Moses lived like somebody who could see God. Now, some scripture cause you to think, well, Moses saw God. Well, then other scripture point out that God says, no man can see me and live. Get in the rock and let you see my backside. And the thing that Moses saw when he saw his backside, he didn't see his backside. He saw the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that we're without excuse. Nobody has an excuse for not seeing God because God's evident everywhere. When we were at our most stubborn and our most lost and furthest away, He was still there. He was still there. Sowing seeds. Sowing seeds. Waiting for a seed to take. That's why when that chorus came out of me so many years ago, it was, for so long I lived without you. Now all I can do is think about you. That doesn't, you know, I guess even then, I probably thought about other things, but the most important thing I thought about was God. I gotta get to know Him better. And still, I've got to get closer to You, Lord. I've just got to. I know that He dwells in me, but I've got to get closer to Him. I've got to get closer to His thinking. I've got to get closer to Him and His presence. I got to get closer. Because you can be one, you know. Rem and Marla, you're sitting right beside each other. John and Vicki, you're sitting right beside each other. And you can be 100 miles apart. No, we're sitting in church, but you could still be 100 miles apart. You know? John, you could go off to the field, sitting right where you are. Vicki could go to a beach somewhere, sitting right where she is. Can't we? You know? And so it is with God. We're walking with God. We're close to God. We're seeking God. And sometimes we find ourselves far away from God. Or at least we feel like we are. Where is God? We're going to pray for Tara today. The enemy, when you have a report that you need prayer for, the enemy says, "Where's your God now?" Not what he said to Jesus, not what the people said to Jesus and said for at the encouragement of the enemy. "Where is your God now? If you're God's son, why don't you get down from the cross?" Jesus didn't say, "If I do, you're toast. Wait a little bit longer. In a little while. Wait a little bit longer." You know? So then people say, "We've been waiting and waiting and nothing has happened. Just wait a little bit longer." You see, we don't know. We don't know. Rachel sent us the text about a young man. And at my age, he's a young man. He's like 51 or 53. He was worked in the state, and he died of a heart attack in the night. And part of the rest of the story was that he had had a heart attack back a little bit ago, and he had to have stents put in. He had the stents put in, and everything was okay. They thought. Prayerfully, everything is really okay now, but it's not okay with everybody left behind. And that's when the enemy comes and says, "Where's God now?" He's always present. We just don't know how all the story is written. I know I talk about Vicki a lot, but she's the one I'm around the most. She's a reader. She reads books. Some books I wish she wouldn't read, because then they'll make a movie about it. And the whole time that we're watching the movie, well, either they're doing a pretty good job or they're not doing such a good job. And this should happen. "Honey, please, can we just watch the movie?" But you know, it's hard to take stock in the movie when you've read the book. And in our lives, sometimes, it's hard to look at what's going on when we've read the book about what the book says about what should be going on. You know? But, I mean, because some things we just know, and we can say it to other people. "Rejoice in various trials." I don't happen to be in it, but I'll pray for you. And if we happen to be in the trial and somebody says, "Now remember, rejoice in various trials," I better get out of here quick. I'm going to take your head off. And if we're a Bible student, somebody might cautiously say, "Remember what James says." "I know what James says, but I don't want to rejoice." It's not easy. But James said, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask God. So if you don't feel like rejoicing, we can ask God, "How can I rejoice?" And maybe we'll talk ourselves into, "Well, I can rejoice in the Lord. I think I'll just go rejoice in the Lord. I'll just go sit down somewhere and I'll just rejoice in the Lord and live like somebody that sees God." Because even when I can't see it, He's working, right? Even when I can't feel it, He's working. You're working. God, you're working. You are working. There's no doubt about it. I don't need to say, "God, aren't you working?" I can say, "God, you're working. God is for me. If God be for me, what can be against me? I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Who gives me strength? Jesus. Who gives me strength? Jesus. Who gives me strength? Jesus. And the peace that passes understanding will come. But it only lasted for a second. Then do it again. It'll last for 2 seconds. You see, I won't survive, I'll thrive. I will thrive. I am thriving. In Christ, I am thriving. I am thriving. Roger, you are thriving. Live like someone who sees God. Recognize when we need to see God. Because you see, when everything is good and rosy, we are praising the Lord and we are certain that God is near. The not so funny thing about that, when things are good, we are seeing God, is that sometimes when things are good, we aren't considering God. Right? We don't mean to, and we really don't, but we sort of do. When things are good, we sort of forget about God. Not in a forget you attitude, but we just sort of are not looking unto the author and the finish of our faith so much, because our faith is working, man. Our faith is working. My faith is working. No, God's working. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, and so he's working. And so sometimes people, while they are just such people of faith, if everything's good. And then there's a pebble on the road, and where's God? You know? Where was God when I hit that pebble? I've told you this before, that I was at the Indianapolis 500 time trials once, and all of a sudden they shut them down and somebody came out with a broom, and I sometimes have more dirt than that where I've been walking, and they're sweeping that thing off. I'm going, what in the world? Got to keep that track clean. These people are going 200 miles an hour. Sometimes we're going 200 miles an hour all by ourselves. We are doing good. And a little pebble rolls us over. You know, we do that. So we should never take our eyes off of the Lord. We should always live as someone who sees God. I mean, you listen to Moses talk, and you would think that Moses was standing face to face with God, talking to God face to face, wouldn't you? Lord, Lord, you can't do that. If you do that, they'll think you can't save us. Ah, he helped God out. Because God never thought of that. And sometimes, rather than being confused, we should just look back to God. You know? For whatever reason, it doesn't matter what reason. You know? It doesn't matter if you were going 200 miles an hour full of yourself. It doesn't matter, because when you look and you see God, God's just going to be like this. Arms outstretched. He doesn't need to go over and over and over and over what we've done wrong. We've already started going over and over and over it. It's nice to know we can just turn back. See, God doesn't have the time to waste explaining what you've done. If you know you've done it, That's enough, because that will turn you back to God. What's important is that we know that when we turn back to Him, we'll find that He's been looking. We will see God. We will see God. I just simply put a note that says, I want to do this in my Bible. Live as a man who sees God. And it's a work in progress. It's always a work in progress. Always. We must guard against the idea that we've progressed far enough. We gotta guard against, we gotta watch out if our zeal is ailing. You know? What will keep us fired up and pumped up about God is seeing God, is expecting God. I mean, if it takes repentance to get us to see God, to expect God, what's wrong with that? But we guard against what Paul said. So then, should we continue to sin that God's grace might abound? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying whatever will stir us up, that's what we need. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir it up, Timothy. Stir it up, Timothy. We all here have been doing it a long time. We have. And if we're honest, we're never tired of it. We're just sometimes less enthusiastic about it. So we come together to get our enthusiasm going, right? To get our, you know, to pray for one another and to build one another up and to be excited, you see, because just because we've been at it for a long time doesn't mean we've got it all down pat. And so then we need to recognize when we've taken our foot off the accelerator. Everything decelerates at a different speed, you know? Like my four-wheeler, if I take my finger off the throttle, it'll decelerate in a hurry. And I think about that sometimes, and I think, why does it decelerate so fast? Because it's an automatic. But it does. If I take my thumb off soon enough, I just about don't need my brakes when I get to the stop sign. It'll just decelerate. We need to watch that we don't decelerate, but we need to understand that we really are a bit like my four-wheeler. When we take our pedal off the metal, we can decelerate more rapidly than we think. We can become complacent while we convince ourselves that we're maturing. Remember, I've said they told me all those years ago, you're just in the honeymoon phase, you'll calm down. What I've discovered is that the more I know Him, the less calm I am. I was in search of Him, and that kept me focused, but I know Him now. I do. I'll just pull that off and drop it on the floor. I mean, I know Him. You know Him. Whoa, is that, that's exciting that we might know God. I know God. I can't see Him face to face, but I want to live as someone who knows God. And if I know God, then I won't be overcome. I won't be overcome by my own doubt. I won't be overcome by the things that aren't the way that I want them. I won't even be overcome by the things that just plain don't work out the way I want them to work out. Because we are one, right? We're one. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. We're not as some that just get to church when we can, and we think that we've got, you know, the God should be pretty thankful that we. No. We're as those who get up in the morning in church. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And worship His holy name. We can do that. We can do that. We set our hearts and our minds to seek God. And we live as people who see God. And guess what? People will want to see. I don't have any idea, you know. I mean, our children, my children, our children were raised. My boys threatened to be strapped into seats, you know. But they aren't always as zealous as I would like them to be, you know. Yeah, He is. He is. And sometimes I try to at least be a little bit of a watchman and remind them, you know. It ain't my fault. And I'll never quit praying. Never. But sometimes I'd like to say, crank up your zeal. Get it going. Don't think I got enough for all of you. I got plenty, but I ain't got enough for you. You're going to need to crank up your own zeal. I don't know. I don't know how people can draw near and then draw away. But I know that I do. I don't have to draw away as far as somebody else draws away to draw away. Any space is too much. So it's not my place to say, you better get your act together. But it is my place to say to me, Roger, get your act together. So that we are open to what the Word of God says. So that something as simple as he lived as a person who could see God, that struck my heart and said, I want to live like I see God. Now, does that mean that God was pointing out to me that I don't live right? I don't think so. I don't know. But it stirred me up. What does it take to stir you up? How heavy is the sediment at the bottom? What does it take to stir you up? What does it take to stir you up? What does it take? I can ask myself, what's it going to take to stir you up, Roger? I want to live like somebody who sees God. I want to go to bed at night saying, you live today like you saw God. And I want to be honest enough when I go to bed and say, you live like somebody that saw God, except there maybe was that one little pebble. Let's keep the road swept. Let's live like people that see God. Everywhere I go, I see you. The only way that we don't see God is if we don't look. If we don't look. And when things are smooth, we're resting in God. When they aren't smooth, we need to look. We just need to look. And there he is. Because everywhere we go, he sees us. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. It's not the eyes of Texas, it's the eyes of the Lord that are upon you. You know? And it's for good. It's for good. God is good. I don't know why that bothers some theologian type people. If we think that God is good. But it does bother some. That we're always saying God is good. And God is good. The end's going to come. It won't go. Even when the worst things happen, he's good. Amen? He just is. You know, sometimes you say God is good, and other people say back all the time, God is good. You know, and I don't know if they believe what they're saying sometimes. Because we can become, we can say what we say. It's just like we can sing, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And then we can walk out and wonder what in the world's going on. Right? But we can live like people who see God. He lived like someone who could see God. And some people would say, well, yeah, but look what Moses saw, man. He saw God do this, and he saw God do that, and he saw God do this, he saw God do that. Man, if I'd seen that kind of stuff, I'd have that kind of faith too. Maybe. You might have died of fright by the time you got to the frogs or the flies or the lice or that real quiet night when the death angel came through. Is it going to work? You think it's going to work? Did you paint it thick? Did you get it all on there? Is it going to work? Did we eat right? Did we eat that sacrifice right? Are we going to make it? Then there's screams, you know, the old on the Ten Commandments. Ah! Ah! How many people are sitting in the house going, oh no? We don't know. But we can live like we can see God, and we won't be disappointed. Amen. Lord, that's how we want to live, like people who see God. We see you making the solutions to things. We see you helping. We see you protecting. We see you defending. We see you giving wisdom. We see you, and we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name, because it's through Jesus we can see you. He came as the express image of the Godhead bodily, and he revealed you to us, Father, and we're going to live like we see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to see you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray for Tara.
those weeks where they didn't have no day worked. Too much court. We got to get rid of that court.